podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Going to the States for this one, mate, and I am intrigued because it's a chat about cults, the psychology of cults. It's a live event, and Mike King is the man behind it. He knows everything about cults. He joins us on the line now. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Mike, it's not just cults that you're known for. Basically, if there's a criminal around, they need to be scared of you. You have been a previous police officer for 40 years. You've been in public safety technology. You've been in FBI profiling. You then retired from law enforcement and have done so much work in regards to keeping people safe and informed. Was cults the last frontier for you? Like, you've done everything else and now cults has come along?
I think what you're saying is that I'm incredibly old, and I'm going to wear that with some pride because I have been able to see a few things in my life. But, you know, I never intended on being a cult investigator. In fact, when I was about 11 years into the job, I was running an undercover sting operation, a team of officers that were buying and selling stolen cars, and we were working our way up the crime pyramid. And one day I walked through the district attorney's office trying to prepare for a trial that was coming up. And the receptionist said, "I don't have anybody available. There's a woman sitting here in the lobby. Could you talk to her for a moment and just get her information so that we can pass it on to someone later?" And so, you know, I thought I was going to just get a name and a number. I walked over, and this beautiful, probably 21-year-old girl with jet black hair. I mean, it looked like she had really spent the morning preparing to come in and meet with someone in the district attorney's office. She stood up confidently. She shook my hand and she said, "I'm involved in a cult that's sexually abusing children. Can you talk to me?"
Oh my God.
And, yeah, I felt the same way that you just expressed. I kind of rocked back on my heels wondering, am I going to be interviewing this woman or am I going to be interrogating her and putting her in jail when we're done? Mm. And we ended up spending about 2.5 hours together. I learned some incredibly disturbing things, and we set up a meeting for the following morning so that I could hand this case off to one of the other investigators. I walked into the district attorney. I said, "Holy cow, here you go." And he pushed it back and said, "You've been relieved of command. You're no longer doing sting operations. You're doing cults."
Wow.
And that was my introduction into cults.
Speaking of introductions into cults, as someone who's, you know, you hear about them and you hear about the extreme cases, I imagine there are much more lower level sort of more manipulative sort of organizations or whatnot. But I've never had sort of that contact with a cult. So I'd sit here and think, how could you possibly find yourself lured into a cult? How does it happen, Mike?
You know, I thought much like you are thinking right now, that you would have to be an absolute idiot to join a cult.
Right.
But you have to think about this. These cult leaders don't want a project. They want somebody that's going to contribute to the cult, whether it's financially or coming in with maybe they're a contractor and they're building a new compound that they need help on, or maybe it's some perverted old bounder who they're bringing in somebody that fits some kind of sexual thing that the guy's chasing. Man. But these cult leaders will go out and they will recruit among a big audience. So they're casting a big net, and they're looking for normal kind of people that are going through really rough moments in time, like a young mom who just went through a divorce with some kids, and she's trying to figure out how she's going to get an hourly wage job and pay for an apartment because her husband's a bum and won't pay his fair share. And all of a sudden, a cult is offering her a place to stay, maybe a little religion, and maybe a babysitter so that she can work. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this person who 5 days earlier would say, "I'd never think about joining a group like that," is all of a sudden thinking, "This might solve an immediate need." Or it could be some old guy like me who's retired and thinking, "What's my legacy? What can I leave behind? And what can I do from an altruistic standpoint?" And all of a sudden, there's this guy that's blowing smoke out of his ears and tinkling bells in the air and they're saying, man, I'd like to get a little more information about this guy.
I've watched a lot of documentaries on a lot of different cults. I mean, Jim Jones obviously comes to mind straight away, the Manson family, and recently on Netflix, Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey, which is Warren Jeffs and the Fundamentalist Church of the Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. Now, the thing is, when you watch these docos, it seems that once you're in, it is so hard to get out. So I guess part of your chat, do you also explain to people, hey, if you find yourself in a cult, here's a way that you can actually either save someone who is in there or save yourself?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. In fact, we're actually going to talk even about the FLDS, who I chased for decades.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about some of the ghost stories that I had as an investigator in there and how 30 years later I finally got the answers to questions that I had so much earlier. We're going to talk about the differences between convert cults like that Jim Jones and the People's Temple that you talked about, or maybe Heaven's Gate or Nexium. We're going to talk about the dynamics to pull people in and take these seemingly intelligent people like you and me and get them at the right moment when there's just a chink in the armor. Mm. And then we're going to also swing over and talk about the fundamental FLDS church and use them as an example about generational groups that raise these little tiny babies from infancy to believe some wacko like Warren Jeffs is a god, if not God.
It sounds like an amazing show, The Psychology of Cults, as you sort of come around Australia. I imagine you've done it elsewhere in the world as well. Have you ever had an active group try and shut you down or not, like try and stop you, block you from talking about them?
No, not really for a presentation. I mean, I've had cults try to intercept and slow down releases of information and other kinds of things. But this is going to be an interesting night. And, you know, the one thing that always seems to identify a cult, in my opinion, is the difference. They are the antithesis of what we're going to be doing that night. We're going to be talking transparency, and we're going to be talking about sharing information, and that is the antithesis of a cult.
Mm, exactly. It's putting everything out in the daylight, isn't it, Mike, instead of hiding it in the dark. After people have come and seen you talk, which there are thousands of people that you've spoken to across the journey, if not millions, Mike, because, of course, you have your podcast and everything like that as well, has anyone ever come up to you and said, Mike, I realize I'm in a cult and you've helped me?
Yes, and that's the weirdest experience, to get phone calls or to get a text. But I'm also going to share some things from some children that I rescued 35 years ago in a cult who reached out to me 4 years ago. And the experience that we've gone through in the last 4 years is we've watched this roller coaster that they're on even today. And these are children who were sexually assaulted hundreds and hundreds of times each. And we're going to talk about the impact and what I call the redemption of the weary watchman, where I finally get the opportunity to see maybe part of the end game for the efforts we tried to put in place decades ago.
Mike, are there still lots of cults active around the world at the moment?
You know, I've done a lot of work for Dr. Phil before he ended his syndicated work. And one time he had his team do some research on something that we were doing for his program. And they came back and indicated that at any given time, there are in excess of 5,000 cults operating in the world from a destructive level. And, you know, you think about just even the cults in Australia that have come out recently, the recent coercive control legislation that came out that revealed so many different disturbing kinds of events where people were really injured by cult leaders, the family and others. And it is a problem that consists of normal life, because anytime some crazy person gets a following, it always seems to just get like a cancer, worse and worse.
Wow. I mean, the psychology of cults, you've got so much to say. We wish we could chat to you more, Mike, but we've run out of time. Renowned cult investigator Mike King, you also have 100 other things that you do, podcasts, find him online, and you can find him at Hamer Hall on Thursday, the 3rd of December in Melbourne. We've got a couple of tickets to give away to the psychology of cults, so if you'd like them, 52232955. Mike, thank you so much for the work that you've done over your journey of life, really, and for coming to Australia.
Well, thank you. I love Australia. I've been there, I think, 8 times now, and I look forward to meeting the people you give the tickets to. So make sure you tell them to come up to afterwards and tell me that they got it from Radio K-Rock.
Wow.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike. We definitely will do that. And hopefully we'll get to catch up with you again real soon.
Great. I hope you come to the show and have a great day.
Tom and Loggy. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.